Azeroth with Attitude.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Azeroth with Attitude. Oh, she was feeling that one. My name is Apid Dillon.
Hi, everyone. My name is Art.
And we are the gayest World of Warcraft podcast on this side of Azeroth. And Diva, we got things to say today, okay?
It was a busy week for World of Warcraft.
It was a very busy week. We are going to be covering a lot in this episode. I know we're going to be, I think, like a week late on the info because we have another episode that's coming out this week. But things we're going to cover today, we've got that just bountiful, fruitful pre-patch story quest. All two quests that we got in that pre-patch. We've got a short story that came out on the World of Warcraft YouTube channel, the State of Azeroth recap. And then we got some like pretty insane news about The Last Titan that we definitely need to discuss. So
it's juicy this week.
It is. It really, really is.
Before we get into it, though, I want to ask, what have you been doing in WoW? Like, how has been your WoW journey since last we chatted?
Honestly, I've been working so much that I barely had time to play properly unless I was on stream. Yeah. And then I was on stream and wanted to play. And then I got my partnership email from Twitch. And then I literally just ended up yapping the entire stream. And I got a little bit tipsy from two drinks. So I didn't really play a lot of WoW. However, yeah. I did play the pre-patch, obviously, and I played a little bit off time. I did all the rares and stuff. We'll get into that. And I've really had an itch, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but I've really had an itch.
Go to the doctor.
To play TBC Classic.
Wait, same.
TBC Classic, because I played it on one stream. I made a character. I called him Demon Twink. Yeah. And it was all about like exploring Kral'Thas. And then I was like, this was so much fun. I want to continue this. And I asked my audience and they were like, yeah, we want to see that again. I'm like, I'm so surprised. Because usually everyone kind of like is not really into classics. So
yeah,
that's what I'm looking forward to do. And other than that, I've been doing housing again a little bit. My burnout is over. I'm back in housing. I'm very excited about it. And I'm so far behind.
Same. I did a little bit of housing this weekend and I'm still going with this like abandoned mage house idea, but I had like a brain like explosion where I was like, okay, what if this mage had a few plants and one of the plants became magically enchanted and overgrown itself and turned into a monstrous plant that took over the whole house? So I started building that and there's like this Venus flytrap mouth that is like gonna be busting out of the wall and like vines throughout the whole house. Yeah, it's sick.
Damn.
Yeah, so we were working on that this weekend. But my big thing that I want to try, and this is based off the lovely comment section on our podcast episodes, is someone suggested after the Mother Olympics that we try out Warcraft 3 because apparently that's where the divas are like diva-ing out. And I was like, okay, maybe I'll load up some Warcraft 3. I've never really played it before. And I'll give her a gander and see if she's my tea.
Yeah, wasn't it like remastered or something?
It was, and was not very well praised for the remaster.
Yeah, I remember. Because whenever I look at Warcraft 3, I'm like, girl, what is this? I don't know if I can get into it. I don't know.
I don't know either. And I'm going to try loading it up. I remember when it first came out, shout out to Blizzard. They gave me a code for it and I did play it, but I played a little bit of the Orc campaign and I was like, what is this? I'm so used to World of Warcraft and it took me back. But then recently I've been really getting into StarCraft 2 and playing the story of that. And that's been gathering me, girl. The story is so good in StarCraft 2. And I was like, wait, I hate RTS games, but maybe I should give them another try.
I might watch a recap on YouTube. I'll just have you recap it. Have you recap it for me.
It'll just be us yapping.
I'm in this phase right now where I want to play a lot of games. Obviously, part of it is also World of Warcraft, but I don't have the time to commit to it. I genuinely don't, and it's frustrating.
Diva, welcome to your 30s. having a full-time job and making content.
Yeah.
It's tough. Yeah. It is. It especially like I get like that too, where I've been playing so much World of Warcraft, which I enjoy. I love like streaming World of Warcraft, but then I'm also like looking at all these other games and I'm like, I also want to stream those, like the new Resident Evil Requiem games coming out. I definitely will be playing that. There's like so many horror games. I used to play horror games all the time on my channel.
I love horror games.
Yeah. And I was like, I haven't had time. Like,
yeah, the longest stream I ever, the first time I did a really long stream was like a 12, almost 13 hour stream. And I played that horror game where you had like make decisions. I forgot. It's like really famous.
Oh,
it's like the horror game.
Papers,
it's like it came before all the dark picture horror games.
Oh, Until Dawn.
Until Dawn. Yes. Yeah. And I played it in one go and it's still one of like my fondest memory. And I did it really early in my stream like era and it was one of the best streams ever. I love horror games. But yeah, but you know, sometimes when you watch like content creators that do gaming stuff and you can kind of tell they haven't played the game.
Yeah.
I get it. Like you barely have any time. It's really so true. Like if you want to stay on time with like the content and everything and the news, you just barely have time to actually play the game. But anyway.
It's all right. We're the work-life balance. We got to figure it out. We really do.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's start off by talking about that beefy, interesting pre-patch that we just got. That story.
Let me just tell everybody, I was playing it before you because you were on your work trip, right? And I literally like messaged you like, girl, we got to talk about this. I literally messaged Dylan like, girl, we got to rinse this pre-patch on the pod.
Yeah.
Okay. This is how I started the pre-patch on stream and I was really, really excited. I already kind of had a bit of an idea that it might not be as good because people were already like posting about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? It's World of Warcraft. People complain about it all the time. I'm sure it's great. I will also say that the last two pre-patches that I've experienced were kind of boring.
Yeah.
The one for the War Within was horrible.
Yeah, nothing. There was nothing to
nothing. It. Nothing.
It
was nothing. And yeah, so I was like, the bar is already really low, but I was like, not for Midnight. Midnight is story heavy. It's going to be huge. You know, it's going to be like, oh, it's going to be big, right?
Yeah.
I load in and I'm like, okay, yay. Like Ramaf is talking to me. Love Ramaf. Like reminds me of like, you know, like old school Blood Elf era, whatever. I go there and you meet Umbreak. They're kind of chatting. It's kind of giving me like the energy that, you know, they've explored each other's parts before.
Absolutely. Like, you know, it's giving that.
Yeah. There's energy there. And I was like, okay, live. And then like you do like one or two quests and like it's over. And then I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting. And then I'm like, okay, so let me check out the vendor. I go to the vendor. There's three pieces of the core. They're incredibly expensive.
Yes, they are.
They're so expensive. I did all the rares, and then I realized, okay, I have 175 badges after doing every single rare and all the world quests, and one chair is like 50, so now you can do the math how hard it is to farm out these chairs. I was informed that you'll be able to get them also in Midnight in Silvermoon, however, it's still so crazy that it would make that so expensive.
Yeah.
And then the transmog is recolored transmog from the War Within.
Girl... when I saw those, I was like, I need them to like pump the brakes on the recolors. Cause we've been seeing them pop up more and more in the trading post. And it's just like the slightest of recolors. And they'll expect you to pay like tender out the ass for it. And Blizzard, come on now.
Like they could have so many opportunities for so many easy wins in this pre-patch. Give us like a random leveling set from Midnight, recolor that, and give that to us. People will be like, oh my God, this is like, you know, the fresh new season gear. Like, oh my God, look at it. It looks different. Make us excited about Midnight. Right now, I'm thinking about everything, but not Midnight. This doesn't give me Midnight energy at all.
Agreed.
So what I did, me and my unhinged community, we realized that if you fly up to Qual'Thalas, you realize that it's already in the game, obviously, the new Qual'Thalas.
Yeah.
So we were trying to see if you can see anything, and you actually can. If you get really, really close for a few seconds, it lets you fly in, and you can kind of see, like, the silhouette of the new Silver Moon. You can see the new, like... the new, like, troll zone, like the Zulaman, whatever.
Yeah.
And then we were like, okay, how can we trick this game into letting us in there to explore? And then we figured it. It was so, we literally made our own fun with this pre-patch because, like, Wizard Nuff offered us nothing. I'm really sorry. I really don't want to be negative, but it was bad.
Yeah.
So we made our own fun. So what we did... I made a whole raid group and I called it Goon Out with Art to Silver Goon. And you can control your pets, right?
Yeah.
And your pet can run forward. If you run forward, Blizzard goes, you're entering midnight and you get ported out. But if you go as a pet, you can actually explore. You can't go super far. But like I did go into the troll zone. And there's, like, nothing there. Like, it's just a zone, but there's no NPCs. There's nothing. That was really, really cool. And then I really wanted to see, like, the Qual'Thalas zone. So people kept telling me, go on a shaman, far side. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever. I did it, and it actually worked. Like, you can use far side twice. And then I, like, landed in the middle of, like, Qual'Thalas and, like, looked around. And I was like, this was illegal. And then, like,
this feels illegal.
But like it was so fun, we were laughing so much, and that was like that's how we like created our own fun with this pre-patch. Yeah,
I cannot tell you how incredibly disappointed I was at this pre-patch. Some of the saving grace of this pre-patch is I like them exploring other characters that we didn't get in the War Within, so for that I appreciate it. And after, and we're going to talk about this in a little bit, the short story that was posted to YouTube, it did give me a little bit more context going into this pre-patch event that I wish some of the story of that short story was told in the game, because it explains the relationship dynamic between Romoth and Umbrick. But my thing is, and again, any diva out there that is a fan of Void Elves... You're going to learn very quickly that I'm not a big fan of Void Elves in, like, I think they're hot, sexy, everything. Story purposes, I think they're kind of a mess. And
I agree.
This pre-patch event is shoving Void Elves so far down my throat that I'm supposed to just be like, they're going to save us. They are the saviors. They're going to come and be that girl for the Blood Elves. And I think I have narrative issues that we're constantly being fed that the Alliance is always coming in to save the Horde. And we got almost all Alliance in the War Within. There was very little Horde in the War Within, except for Undermine. And with this pre-patch event, it's getting me a little worried that midnight we're going to have the same issue, even though we're like, Blood Elves, this is awesome. Blood Elves are finally going to tell their tale more than what we've previously gotten. But based off the short story that they've uploaded and based off of this pre-patch event, it really makes me think that we're going to get this, well, the Void Elves were right all along, and they're actually going to be the people to save us. And I just don't like that narrative. But yeah.
Me neither, to be honest.
Very boring pre-patch. Little to do with it. It literally just like stops. You're like, okay, the quest is ramping up. We're taking out the Twilight Cult. Oh, that's it. Oh,
literally, like,
okay,
is this it? Are we done? Like,
I also think it's so funny, and I'm gonna harp on the Void Elves in this episode. I'm so sorry, everyone. In the pre-patch story, Umbrick is like, you have to trust me. The Void is going to save us all. We have to, like, indulge the Void in order to stop them. But then everything that you do to stop the Twilight Cult in this pre-patch event, you're not doing anything with the Void. So, like, Umbrick is, like, on his high horse being, like, he has the microphone. He's, like, ready to be debuted on the stage. The lights are shining. He comes out. No applause. And he's just eating it up, thinking that he's that girl. And the Grammy did not go to Umbrick.
Yeah.
I don't know. It is a nothing burger. I really hope. And I think we've talked about this before, where they are starting to avoid doing larger storylines and pre-patches. But like after the burning of Teldrassil being that pre-patch, the amount of hype that people had for BFA.
I know. It was crazy.
Was palpable. The haters were fed because they were like, I'm going to hate play BFA. And the people that lived for that pre-patch event were like, I have to see where the fuck the story goes.
Which was genius because it was all about war and all about like, you know, are you Alliance or are you Horde? Like the whole thing was like going back to this like versus thing.
Yeah.
And it was so like it made people so excited. And I also remember Shadowlands, the pre-patch, you had like the whole thing with Tyrande going to kill Nathanos.
Yeah.
We got that like incredible cutscene where she chops his head off and goes for Teldrassil, where he like tries to be like, me, and like try to get into her head and she just like chops his head off. And then he was like a little boss in the pre-patch. That also got us so excited because we like knew, okay, Tyrande now is going there and like we're about to go there too. And like we know the sky shattered and like, you know, Sylvanas at the thing and like it's about to happen. It was so exciting. It wasn't probably as good as the BFA one, but it still had like, it got you like so excited. Like you could like smell the new expansion. Right now, none of that. None of that. The stank of the War Within is everywhere, girl.
Girl, that BFA, the pre-patch smelled like poppers. In in the midnight pre-patch, it's giving nasty, mildewy, moldy mattress is what it's giving. And
I love when people describe things. It's beautiful. I love language evolving.
And listen, and people will get it. The girls that get it. They'll understand.
Period.
Okay, so this short story, because it kind of feeds into this pre-patch event. We both listened to, I know you listened to some of it. I did listen to the full thing. So I'll give like a quick recap for anyone that did not listen.
You're talking about the short story.
The short story, yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, the short story is we learn that Umbrick and Romath did explore each other's bodies in college. Romath.
And I'm here for it.
Yeah, Romath.
I'm very here for it.
Yeah. Like Romath was like Dom Top energy. Umbrick was like Juicy Couture wearing bottom. And they.
I was going to say angsty, but yeah, Juicy Couture wearing sounds great too.
Yeah. Like she had her sunglasses on. She had her frappe latte, Juicy Couture, bent
over. Champagne for everybody.
Champagne for everyone. And like leg up. Like, okay, stupid. Anyway. So basically what actually happens is it's a story that showcases different moments of Blood Elf history and what Umbrick and Romath were doing during those time frames, which was really cool to see. It was really cool to see their relationship evolve over time. And I think the issue I have with this short story, and this is, I kind of hinted at this at the beginning of the podcast, is there's this regular theme that the Horde is always wrong and that the Alliance is somehow right. And in this short story, it comes across as the Blood Elves are racist, and not racist, but like they're just like prejudiced against the Void Elves. When in actuality, the Void Elves are really just trying to do their best to protect the Blood Elves and will do anything to protect the Blood Elves, even if it means indulging in this like void magic that's like forbidden. But when I heard the short story, it came across as Umbrick satisfying a power fantasy that he has to be the person to save the Blood Elves and will do even forbidden things. And the Blood Elves have every right to be so distrustful of Void Elves. Like time and time again, they have been like screwed over by either Void stuff or the Fel. And I find it's a pill hard to swallow, but I will say it did make me like Umbrick a little bit more. And I don't care for Void Elves ever.
That's fair, honestly. I fully agree with you. But I did love that like the portrayal of them like fighting each other, sort of like who's more powerful, who's smarter, like who can like outsmart each other, which is so just as like a mage thing, like this typical like mage, like I'm smarter than you, like love that was really cool. And Ramaph was kind of like, I do sympathize a little more with Umbreak when it comes to that power relationship than Ramaph, because he's kind of like, oh, I have it all figured out. Like, I'm the popular one. And he's the one that's like a little bit like, you know. So I get it. But and he keeps telling himself that he's doing it for like to save my people. But there's a little selfishness in there. And it does shine through. And I do think that's cool. That makes him a character nuanced.
Yeah, it gives him layers.
But then I agree with what you're saying. However, there that one scene where he's like, where he first explores it and like it like takes over his body and then he like, you know, retracts and then Ramaph stands in front of him with green glowing eyes, being all shady. Like he thought he died and like his people are like withering away, but Ramaph is there looking super powerful and like, you know, like he's, you know, ate good food. Like he's been eating well and he has green glowing eyes that look very unnatural. And then he's being judgmental of him, like experimenting with this while he's literally came from like an alien world with a with, like charged with fel power.
It's so true.
Like what's the difference, Diva? I mean, I don't like, maybe they understand fel a little better, but fel doesn't seem trustworthy to me either. I don't know, but that part I don't think that Blood Elves necessarily are like they should be scared, but for some reason they're not scared of the fel.
Correct me if I'm wrong in the comments of the on the YouTube video. From my understanding of Blood Elves, they did not know they were doing fel magic at first. They thought it was the Naru, right? They were like pulling light from the Naru.
Then I might be wrong.
And then Kael'thas corrupted or used the Naru to then recharge the sun well and corrupted it with like fel, which is so it's like evil, like he was like very evil in that capacity. So Blood Elves have kind of constantly,
but Ramaph didn't know.
Well, they now know, and that's why they were like suffering essentially. Correct me if I'm wrong. I kind of not fully understanding the
You know this better than I do. I just thought that like they knew that they had fel energy in them.
They do now. They definitely do now. And because Blood Elves are constantly like they have this like magic addiction. So they always have to satisfy their magic addiction in some way. And that's why like in TBC, when Blood Elves are introduced, they're all about like draining magic from like these different animals.
That's like the whole like thing where she drains it from the mana.
Because that's how they sustain themselves. So I think from my context, it's like, I think it makes sense for the Blood Elves to be hesitant about playing around with the void, because from Romas' perspective, he's like, Diva, we have proven time and time again, we cannot be trusted to mess with these magics that constantly screw us up. And from his perspective, especially in modern retail WoW, It when you're playing through the game during the Void Elf introduction, I highly recommend going through the lore walking for anyone that's listening. There's like a lore walking quest line you can go through that kind of explains like the origins of the Blood Elves and then the origins of the Void Elves. It's really good and it summarizes the story really well. And in that, Umbreak and all his little assistants, research assistants, they go into like Void Gates to kind of go and research the void. And Umbreak, being overconfident as he always is like, we're going to be okay. It's not that big of a deal. And it becomes a very big deal because he ends up corrupting basically all of him and his assistants and Illyria and the player character go in and save all of the Void Elves, essentially. So that's when they become corrupted with the void and become Rendorai, or whatever they're called. Rendorai,
yeah.
And
so you think that they were really just like made up?
What do you mean?
Do you think that they were made up just to give Alliance elves?
Maybe.
You think that they were not like originally like in the core of Warcraft story?
I mean, they might have been. I the thing with elves is elves are always like there's so many versions of elves because they are so easily altered based off their topography. They're verse queens for sure. Like they're topping, they're bottoming, they're sides. Some of them are asexual. They're agnostic. They're, you know.
Some of them are straight.
Some, yeah.
Unfortunately.
So it's, I think they're like interesting as a race, but when Void Elves were first introduced, it didn't really make a lot of sense to me because I have the same issue with Volpera. They're not a civilization. They're not like a, like Umbric.
They're a small group of people.
They're just a small group of people that live in like the void because it was Umbric and his assistants. So from them to go from like Umbric and his assistants to now they are an entire society of people that have children and live in their own villages and have their own armies. I find that extremely hard to believe.
They do?
Well, yeah, because in this pre-patch event, they have like, they have soldiers and warriors and
yeah,
they have,
I also like, find that weird.
I'm like,
it's like they don't what? Live in the they don't live in the void anymore, right? They've escaped that.
No, I think they do.
They still do.
Yeah, I think they still live in their void area. Correct me if I'm wrong, chat. I mean, sure, some of them live in like Stormwind and whatnot. I think they're trying to feed us the Void Elf pills, and this is the trajectory of WoW. I'm just gonna have to swallow the pill, take in the story, and live for the moments that I live for. I think the short story made me like Umbric more.
Me with Kalia Menafil.
Yes. Like, we know eventually we're going to get that short story about Kalia Menafil, and we're just going to have to sit there like...
We're going to be like, just nod and smile, divas. Just nod and smile.
I'm like, yes, girl. Yes. You did
give
that.
Us nothing.
I think they should do more of these short stories. I know they've been doing them for a while. But like the sound production, the voice acting, like,
yeah,
give me more. Yeah.
Romaf is so hot.
Oh my God. And I know Umbric was sitting back there like, oh, yeah. Like,
ooh, yeah. It's like it's heated rivalry because they're like, you know, they're like rivals, but then they explore each other's buttholes. Yeah,
I bet you there's like a secret audiobook that is about their times in Dalaran where maybe Dakan walks in on them and they're like, you know, exploring each other's bodies and they feel shame and regret, and that's why they have this rivalry for all these years is because Umbric knows that booty hole was the void was explored, mama.
Literally, so his void, his own void. Personal void in there. Yeah, no, absolutely. But there is one thing that I didn't like about it. When we've talked about this before in a previous episode, where they kind of humanize elves because they don't know how to write elves and how they behave.
Yeah,
they almost acted like they were like dorm bros that are like, you know, the same football team, like waking up in their dorm and like hungover. Well, I get that. Like, I'm sure elves also get drunk and stuff and like party, but they're old. They're not teenagers, right? They're old AF. So like, I don't understand that. And then also there was this one point where they were like, Silvermoon doesn't look like it used to before. There were all these coffee shops where they used to study. Coffee shop? In Silvermoon? Coffee? What, you think they're drinking like iced lattes in Silvermoon, girl?
Like, I agree.
Coffee doesn't technically exist. Like, we know now it does. Made by these guys from the Endeavors, like from Pandaria. And it's called Kaffa. So that makes sense to me. Or like, and then there's like this gnomish invention of the coffee and stuff. But why would elves, like, that just makes no sense to me. And then later on, I think they say tea shop instead of coffee shop.
I did. I also think it's just really funny for all of these beings, and I'm sure caffeine works the same for an elf, but you mean to tell me the thing that absorbs arcane magic from a living being needs coffee to wake themselves up? I find it silly, but whatever.
I just feel like I love World of Warcraft, and it's like, I feel like a lot of people that love World of Warcraft probably also know about D&D. And in D&D, all these small little details matter, you know?
They do.
And
yeah.
I just don't understand why they don't think of that. That makes me off.
Like, in D&D, an elf, like, doesn't even sleep. It meditates because they are, like, so
high. So cunty.
Yeah, they're, like, just these, like, high-end ancient beings that don't even sleep. They just sit there and meditate for hours because they don't need sleep. And it's just like, it's such a fascinating concept.
So fierce.
I'm really excited though to see what they do with Midnight, with like the troll elf of it all.
Yeah.
Because trolls are also like these older beings that have like decades and decades of civilization. They don't live for thousands of years like elves do. But I'm really curious because I've heard from people that have played the beta that the Zolomon region is like one of the best. And I'm like,
really?
Oh, yeah. Good. And I
love that.
I'm really excited for that because I love a good troll zone. That's why I like Zandalar. And
yeah, I love Zandalar. It's so good. One of my favorite zones ever. And I really, really hope that they're going to give us Zulamani trolls as a playable race.
I think they're going to give us customizations. I could see that.
But they have a different skeleton.
Oh, they do?
They have the orc skeleton. Yeah. They have the orc skeleton. They look completely different.
I'm here for it.
I'm also here for it. I really hope they're going to give us that. And also give us high elves.
Please. Hey. Hi, elves. Hey, girl.
Hey.
Come on in. We got some drinks for you.
Slap like new colors on them and that's it. Such an easy win.
It's so true. It's really weird, though, that they wrote in the lore that high elves are hung. So they're going to have to like a... I'm kidding.
What?
I'm joking. The way you believed that was crazy.
People always make fun of me that I'm so like, I believe everything I hear, at least for like a few seconds. And I really do. Like people could be like, oh my God, I just got $1 million. And I'd be like, what? Like I believe everything for a few seconds.
I just love
I thought for a second you meant like hung.
Oh.
I was like, huh?
There's like some writer at Blizzard and they're like, and all of the men are hung and the high elves.
Girl, you just gooped me so hard. You made it so believable. Like your face was so, you're so dumb.
And that's the audiobook I'm waiting for. Give me the high elves are hung audiobook. Put it on a shirt. Make it merch, Blizzard. High elves are hung. Anyway.
I'm actually
crying a little bit. That was stupid.
I really want to talk about because you just reminded me talking about like them adding high elves, because I knew if they will do that, they'll make a lot of people happy, but I'm also sure a lot of people will be so angry that another elven race is being added.
Yeah.
So what I want to talk about is, have you watched The State of Azeroth?
Diva, yes, I did.
It has caused so much controversy,
yeah,
negative comments, and I want to talk about it. I was even thinking about like making a whole ass video about it because it's really been bugging me and it's really been on my mind. But I just want to hear first, what do you think of it? What are you excited about? What do you like?
Yeah, I think the people that are hating on the State of Azeroth are jobless.
What?
Sometimes don't deserve opinions. And generally need to find joy in their life. Because I lived for that State of Azeroth. I think people forget we would not have gotten that level of roadmap and that level of premeditated thought.
Yes.
Two expansions ago. Like
literally
the amount of content they are feeding us in this short span of a roadmap for 1 year.
Oh, that's such a good point.
Is insane. And people still want to complain about Classic Plus. I'm like, Diva, you have Mists of Pandaria Classic, the Burning Crusade Classic, which already has its own roadmaps and it's already detailed things that are coming out.
You have three classics right there.
And then not only that, you also have this insane roadmap for Midnight with brand new game modes, details of like the dungeons that are coming, the raids that are coming, when new zones are dropping. Like we are being fucking fed. And all you can complain about is, well, all they talked about was housing. Well, yes, bitch, it's their largest feature in like two expansions. Of course we're going to talk about housing.
I'm going to say something crazy. I've unfollowed a bunch of people.
Good, you should.
I've unfollowed so many people. Even like people that I thought were like, you know, smart. Had a good, had an opinion. People that are, you know, like queer WoW players that I will always like follow and like always be excited about them. I haven't followed them because they annoyed the F out of me.
Yeah.
Okay. What you said was so perfect at the beginning. It's like people. So like we would have never even gotten any amount of information. Like they would have never even been a state of Azeroth before. So people, I think the first thing that people did wrong is they went into this thinking, oh my God, there's going to be a very huge announcement. And I understand that it was a little misleading. Remember Blizzard posted that teaser where they did where they showed this like, and it was like, oh, what's the next big thing? It kind of made it feel like that. So I agree that it was a little misleading. This teaser should have been there for BlizzCon.
Agreed.
Because BlizzCon, I'm assuming it's going to be something big, right? Yeah. So I get that part. I really do get that. But I also believe that most of these people haven't even seen that teaser. A lot of these people are just jumping on the hate train.
Yeah.
Like, you really have to be, like, a World of Warcraft core player to see all of that and to, like, you know, like, make up theories of what's going to happen. But then, so, like, the whole thing was, like, oh, retail is so, like, blah, 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 like, we want Classic. We want everything used to be better. Blizzard gives us Classic. It's been out for 6 years already, like constantly updated next to retail. Okay. Yeah. We give us Classic. Oh, but now, like, what are we going to do? Like, what is this going to go? Okay. We get TBC. Oh, no. But like, I really love Classic. I was just brought up a Classic. We get Classic. People make up their own, like, Classic mode with Hardcore. Blizzard gives them Hardcore.
Yeah.
They give us the next one. But we want TBC to be like back. TBC Anniversary Realms. They give them everything they want. And now we're at this point where, like, okay, Mr. Pandaria is, like, reaching its end. Are we really going to go into Classic Draenor? I mean, sure. I mean, like, yeah. I don't care. But yeah. People are like, oh, we want Classic Plus. We want Classic. Blizzard has never, ever said anything about Classic Plus. They're like, okay, here's Season of Discovery. Season of Discovery worked. Some people are like, oh, but it's not really there. Now it's shutting down, blah, blah, blah. Oh, like, you can never win. They just can't win.
I agree.
And now Blizzard is almost like cornered where it's like, oh, well, so we either give them this game mode that they have made up or like we're going to be even more on a chopping block. But like they never even said they're going to give that to us. And then the whole thing with like, oh, this was like a housing. I've already had people come into my stream being like, oh, housing gamer. And it's like, okay, Blizzard has worked on housing since probably Shadowlands, right?
Yeah.
That's at least what people think. They also bought an entire new team onto the devs to just focus on housing. So don't come to me with that like, oh, but like, you know, they're pulling devs away from making my little raids and my little M plus to make your little housing. That's not true. That's just wrong.
Wrong.
You can tell I'm getting heated.
No, it's true. Like, it's so true.
Because none of their arguments stick. None of them stick. And then they go, also like, okay, so they're working on this in Shadowlands, put a lot of resources into it. We all have been asking, most of us have been asking for this since forever, okay? They finally give us this product. It is a huge success already in pre-release. And you expect them to be like...
Yeah.
Oh, housing exists? Oh, never mind. Girl, do you understand how a business works? They launched a product they've been working on for years, poured money into it. Of course they're going to market it heavily. Of course they will.
Yeah.
It's not like we're taking your toy away to give the toy to somebody else. That's not how it works.
Yeah. It's also so stupid to me because in an ideal world, this is what you want from a gaming company. They release a new feature or a new product, and then they've built a team behind it to continue to support said feature or product going forward. Like, I think those are the types of things that we wish we would have gotten from, like, pet battles back in the day when they introduced that new feature.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
When they introduced, which we kind of got with, like, the island expeditions. Like, we got Delves, which is great. Like, and we're seeing the further development of those types of features and, you know, game modes. We want that. Same with, like, even though Plunderstorm is obviously like a questionable topic, they're experimenting more with like other game modes and other ways to play World of Warcraft. So This is what you They're want really from a pulling, game company.
Blizzard is putting their whole badussy into this, okay?
Uh-huh.
And people are still somehow still complaining. Another argument that isn't even about Classic, but people are like, oh, they gave us nothing. Hold on, Ziba. What do you mean they gave us nothing? First of all.
Rewind the back.
We might have not gotten specific news of what's going to come in Classic, but do you need news on Classic? Do you not know exactly what comes in Classic? Because we've already played it. and then also, like, she gives an epic teaser to something big coming in Classic, okay? You really have to have one brain cell to not understand that there's something big coming, because she goes, you know, she did the whole thing where she was like, then someone interrupts her. How amazing is that? That gets me excited, even though I'm not even a Classic player. It got me excited. And I was like, oh my God, I cannot wait for people to, like, you know, see this and react to this. It did the opposite of what I thought it was going to be. People were like, oh, she could have given us something. You, like...
They're just miserable.
BlizzCon is coming in, like, what, 7-8 months? Do you really think she's going to announce something big on a random-ass YouTube video? BlizzCon is coming, Diva.
Right.
And Ian even said, you got to look out for this one. It's one of the biggest one we've ever had, blah, blah, blah. So there's something clearly big coming. So get excited about it and not miserable. And then they gave us a bunch of new stuff, like the new delves, the new game mode, this little mini game. They're giving us 3 raids in one season instead of 1 raid. Did we not hear that? Like, I just don't understand it. It's sometimes it just like my, sorry, it's my last point that I want to make.
I'm living
sometimes
for this.
I feel like sometimes it just feels so exhausting to be a WoW fan, because you just like the community can be so miserable and so negative and dooming and dark, and it pisses me off, especially as someone now that also creates content for it and genuinely has so much love. I wouldn't be this heated if I didn't care, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Diva, I was living for this. I am of the same exact mindset as you. It's truly like, just enjoy the fucking game. Like, you're having fun. And honestly, Blizzard is killing it right now. Last time they showcased subscriber numbers, they were at like 9 million subscribers to World of Warcraft or something like that. And the highest they've ever been at was 12 million. And that's like the fact that they're able to sustain the amount of players that they have.
It's a 20-year-old game.
Right.
Do you not understand how big that is? That's historical.
It's amazing. And the fact that they're still supporting this game, they're still pumping out new content. There might be more content in the future for BlizzCon. Like, I have my own theories around that. But I think just generally, people that aren't into housing, I think there is still enough game in World of Warcraft for you to still fucking enjoy World of Warcraft and not even touch housing.
Literally, you don't have to touch it. The only thing you're going to notice it is if there's a cord piece that lands into your bag.
And guess what? You right click on
and it goes away into a void that you never have to like open up.
It goes into Umbrick's hole and then you'll never have to see it again.
No, literally. I'm just like, none of their arguments. I really want to get into a discussion with people with like good arguments, but none of them unfortunately hold any weight. So it just infuriates me, because it's like, you just can't make them happy. And if any of the devs watch this, I just want to let you know that I love the work you're doing, and I see the amount of like love you're pouring into it. And I really, really hope that these people do not get affected by all this negativity, because there really was a lot. Also, the cinematic.
Oh, it's so good.
I loved it.
Oh,
it made
my
me
God.
Tear up.
Yeah, it's
I
so
did
good.
Think it was gonna I did slightly think that, is this an animated show that's being announced right now?
I was
like,
that.
Oh my God, it's an animated show coming. And then it was like, it wasn't that. But it was like an homage to housing, which was beautiful. People got so angry. It isn't World of Disney Craft. It isn't World of like and then they're comparing, it's like, this is what our trailers used to look like. And then they show like the trailer for Warlords of Draenor. I'm like, this isn't an expansion launch trailer.
It's also just insane to me, because I saw people also comparing like the first World of Warcraft cinematic to the current one, and people being like, first off, the current look and feel of World of Warcraft is reflected more in this housing cinematic than the first cinematic, which does not convey the look and feel of classic World of Warcraft at all.
At all.
And so I think it, if people are that mad about like the Disneyification of the look and feel of World of Warcraft, that's a whole conversation topic that they can get into, where it's like the saturated colors and the smoothing of character models. Like, D.Va, you can have that conversation without shitting on a housing cinematic, which conveys the feelings of what people experience when they play World of Warcraft.
And coming home and like the little picture of the, yeah. Like, I feel like it was so core World of Warcraft. Was this like, am I personally like a fan of this like Disney cartoon style? Probably not. I prefer like something else, but I still think that the cinematic wasn't there to show us high stakes. It was there to like just celebrate housing and coming home and stuff. And then also people are like, oh yeah, no, World of Warcraft, like where is like, you know, the high stakes cinematic? Where's the war, blah, blah, blah. We literally had that with Midnight Release, with the show like Zalatopmos blowing up the sun well and like elves dying. And then what did they not like? Why did Liadrin have such a big jaw? Like, you just can't win. You can't fucking win.
What are their pupils? What's up with this?
Like, yeah, why are they not more shiny? Like, no matter what you, that girl, that was a high stakes cinematic.
Yeah, it was. I don't get it. I truly don't get it. I just think that it's just so... I mean, people just love complaining. They just love...
It's really an
endless cycle of complaints and negativity and just enjoy the fucking game.
Yes. And then also, like, I'm really here for criticism. Like, what? Well, criticism. We just literally tore the pre-patch apart, okay? I'm not one that will not criticize if something isn't good. But my last thing I want to say to these people is just deinstall, D.Va. Just deinstall.
Uninstall. Just deinstall. And if you want to, like we always say about Classic, if you just want to play the same quest over and over and over again.
It's right there.
It's right there, girl. And you will live your life. You'll make another fucking human paladin and you'll level up through the same fucking zones, and you'll be happy doing it.
Go for it. I support you. I want to talk about one more thing that is so, that like I'm genuinely so embarrassed about, and I keep thinking of it. It like keeps popping back into my head. So when that one part at the end where Ian goes, World of Warcraft isn't just high stakes, it is also light and love and friends coming together, and it even warms the heart of the Prince of Darkness. I go and make a little video being like, people are talking about who the Prince of Darkness is. It is so exciting. Is this a new lore implication? I want to meet him. He sounds hot. The way I did not clock that this was an homage to Ozzy Osbourne,
girl,
whatever his name is. I'm so embarrassed. I'm so embarrassed.
My chat read you for filth when you came in and said that.
I'm genuinely so embarrassed. You watch this video of me saying like, oh my God, like everyone's talking, no one's talking about it. Everyone knows what it is. You're just stupid. You do not know who Ozzy Osbourne is.
I also live that you came in. You're like, I know about his like skinny wife. That's about it. And I'm like
Ozempic wife.
Ozempic wife. And I was like, Art, come on. I cannot with you. And it's like, you know what? That's true. Ozzy Osbourne and Sharon Osbourne, they just never went to Europe. They never went to Austria. No, they definitely did.
They probably did, but like, I don't know. Whatever. I'm so embarrassed silly about it, but I hope that I'm probably going to delete that part at some point.
But there is one more thing I do want us to talk about.
Yes.
And this was stated after the State of Azeroth. And they were talking about in The Last Titan, there is going to be a lot of major character deaths that are going to be happening in The Last Titan, which...
Oh, I thought in Midnight.
No, they said in The Last Titan, there's going to be a lot of major character deaths. Who do you think is going to die?
I don't like this. This makes me really nervous.
It does. It makes me very nervous too. And I also... It
gives me a stomach ache.
It also makes me nervous because they're redoing Northrend for The Last Titan. And a lot of major characters were a part of, obviously, like, Wrath of the Lich King and Warcraft 3, which makes me think they're going to get rid of the old guard and kind of bring in the new shiny faces.
I don't know. I'm so attached to World of Warcraft. some of these characters make World of Warcraft for me. Like, imagine World of Warcraft where Jaina, Sylvanas, Thrall don't exist.
I know.
And there's like imagine like a show that we're all attached to. I don't know. Like, you're a millennial. I'm sure you love Friends.
I don't like Friends at all.
Me neither. I just couldn't think of a show.
You said, but like, you're gay, nasty, pathetic, ugly ass, probably likes Friends, you dirty millennial. That's what you literally said just now.
Probably. But like a show like this where everyone's attached to their characters and then all of a sudden there's like a sequel and everything looks fresh and new and there's new characters and they're like their grandchildren, it just won't hit.
Yeah.
And so I'm a little afraid that, like, oh, if they take away my girlies, that it's going to be so sad. But if they say it like that, it actually makes it interesting because then you're, like, excited. Because, like, that's what I loved about Game of Thrones, that, like, any main character could have just get their head chopped off at any moment. But I always said, if Sylvanas comes back, it's probably to die.
She is... Her head is currently on the executioner's block as we speak. They are going to.
Let's be real. What is there more for her? They've already set up a new leader for her. Her arc is over. She'll always just be a side character now. I don't see any way that they can bring her back as like a main big thing.
Yeah.
And if she really, really does come back, I feel like it's going to be one of those moments where it's like she does one last thing. And she sacrifices herself or in some sort of way.
That makes me so sad.
I don't see anything else happening for her, to be honest. Like, just like story, like writing wise.
Yeah.
But I really hope it's not like, I hope it's Khadgar.
I do think that we're going to get rid of Khadgar.
He already prepared me emotionally for him dying. And if he dies, I'm just going to be like, shrug.
I actually don't think they're going to kill off Jaina. If anything, I could see her becoming the new Khadgar
guardian.
Yeah, the new guardian. I could see that for her trajectory. I definitely think Thrall's dead. There's no reason to keep Thrall in the story.
Rest easy, King.
He is truly go girl, give us nothing for the last like three expansions.
Rest easy. That's all I have to say.
He said, I will be putting flowers on your grave. He's like, I'm still in the room, bitch. What are you talking about? They're like, I bought these for you. I'm ready.
I'm like patting his shoulder, like, it's okay. It's okay.
You can let go. He's like, I just had cereal. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not even sick right now. And you're like, it's okay. That cough.
His wife's like pregnant. Like, he's in the middle of life. And I'm just like, it's okay. It's nice to have you still here.
That's our viewers to when they learn that we were 30 plus. Well, soon to be 30 plus, and they're like, oh, you're going to die soon. Like,
yeah.
They're like, thanks. Thanks. Oh, speaking of which.
Well, guess what, bitch? I feel full of life going into 30. Yeah. More than I've ever did.
Speaking of which, we, for those that don't know, we are both Aquariuses. It's my birthday is this weekend as of recording. Yours is, I think, the following week.
Actually, 4 days later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The way that our periods are in sync is insane. Yeah,
we're in the same cycle. Wow.
Same cycle. basically the same age, because I also just turned 30.
Of course.
Who else do I think is going to die? right on that topic. do you think Lorthamar is going to die in Midnight?
Nah.
I don't think so either.
Nah.
I've seen like people talking about that online, and I'm like, I just don't see Lorthamar dying.
No, I don't think so. I think it might be like, it's going to be one of those like Midnight main characters right now. So it's going to be either Tyrallian, Illyria, Khadgar. It's going to be one of those. I don't see randomly Lorthamar dying because like he's not that involved as of now. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen in Midnight, but as of now, he's not that involved. And he also let the man rest a little bit. He just got involved. It just got like married to Thalissa. You know, let him enjoy himself with his like 5 foot tall queen.
5 foot tall queen. True.
No, sorry, not 5 foot. I don't know American things.
I was like tall? She's short as hell.
She's like 8 feet.
Yeah. 7 foot tall.
I do centimeters. I don't do feet.
I love that. You're like that 5 foot tall diva. I'm like, she's here. on Lorthamar. She is at Lorthamar's titty.
I keep embarrassing myself. It's crazy. I thought I ate.
No, you said you said it with full confidence. You said 5 foot tall diva. I also think we're gonna say goodbye, and this is a hope, not a theory. Oh, Greymane.
Bye. I just spoke German almost. Goodbye. I want to say goodbye German, which is tschüss.
Tschüss. Yes.
Let's wave. Goodbye.
Us as he's like on a tiny little boat out to sea.
Yeah.
Bye, Diva. We're like at Stormwind. Just like just giving a sassy little wave. Bye, Diva.
This is us.
We're giving a little sassy wave.
I hate us.
His daughter is also sitting there, not even paying attention, just talking to a man. And she's like, oh, bye. Anyway, I need to go do diva things over here.
Oh, I'm dying. No, literally.
So stupid.
Do not care for him at all. Who else could be dying?
It's going
to
be really
interesting. Who do you not want to die? Who do you really, ooh, like, you don't want to see happen? You would be pissed.
I don't want Princess Talanji, obviously, to die. I feel like all the allied races are safe. I don't think they're going to touch any of the allied races.
Umbrick might die.
I could see an Umbrick death.
Yeah.
But then again, the only other... I'm trying to remember her name. Is it Mayla? She's in the short story. The only other actual Void Elf that could take over leadership of the Void Elves is that diva, and we've gotten hardly any story for her.
So, I don't even know who she is. I didn't get to that part.
Yeah, she's just like his head assistant.
If they say big deaths, it's gotta be someone people are attached to. And I just hope, I really hope that it's not Jaina. She's the one that I would genuinely be pissed about.
Yeah.
That woman did not get to experience happiness, and she deserves it. I really, really hope it's not her.
Oh, this report just in. Blizzard just sent me it. Okay, they're going to resurrect Vol'jin and kill Vol'jin again.
Good.
Just to piss off the further fans of World of Warcraft. They're like,
oh my God, I'm so sad.
We're going to bring that troll back, and then we're going to behead him. And it's going to be Sylvanas holding the axe. Chop. And then she's gonna burn Tel Drassil again.
With these, like, on the spot stories that you're a game master
gay.
For D&D, right?
Oh,
yeah, and you're gay.
Yeah.
You're so good with like quickly coming up with like a whole storyline. I'm like, what does it look like inside of your brain?
It's literally the worst version of brain rot you can think of. But I also don't know any memes. Like, I'm just not like, people will reference a meme and
really?
You're like. Yeah, I don't watch, like, I sometimes
it
watch.
It seems like you do, though. You always get everything I say. Or maybe you're just like, ha, 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 nod and smile.
I'm like, yeah, that's cute. I love that. I'm like, what did
she
say?
That means you have a personality, though.
Yeah.
That means you have a personality. While mine is fed by Twitter and TikTok.
And I live. I still, to this day, think of... What was the reference? I referenced it earlier, literally in this podcast, with the headset, and you were coming up it was the short form video you made with the green screen, and you're like the diva coming up with like the microphone, pop star.
Oh, me saying Sylvanas coming out of the maw to save us from the flop that is Anduin.
Yeah.
And it's her like pretending to be like a pop star. Like,
I think of that all the time. I'm just like, I really truly want that moment for Sylvanas, like her coming up and like looking up at the crowd. Hey, her at the Pride Parade.
Like, which little gay boy didn't want to live the fantasy of being a pop diva? Yeah. And like, now I get to do it on the internet as a 30-year-old man.
So true. I also think a person I don't want to see die is Anduin.
Oh no, he won't die. No,
I don't
way.
Think he'll die. I really need him to live into his old age because he's one of those legacy characters that we've seen since a kid. So I just think it like helps establish the timeline of where we're at when we can know how we play it by how old is Anduin. And that man is white, so he will age rapidly. And that's how we'll know. We're like, okay, so 60 years have passed. Yeah, because they don't have Korean skincare in Azeroth, so he's gonna look.
But they have coffee shops.
They have coffee shops, but not Korean skincare. Explain it. Explain it, Blizzard. There, you know what? Now that I think about it, there are a lot of things that are in Azeroth that don't make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Like, why
cars?
Actually, I think the opposite. Why are these divas not using cars more? Or why are we not using airplanes? Gnomes and goblins are literally using airplanes all the time. So
they're
why
using
are we
underground?
Underground
train.
Yes. Where is the public transit system?
What about that? Let's have that conversation.
Yeah, let's actually talk about the geopolitical structure of Azeroth and why they can't finance a public transit system. Can we also talk about the fact that, like, Orgrimmar and Stormwind are definitely not big enough to sustain all the people that live in it? Clock that.
I wanted to talk to you about, I love the way you say Orgrimmar. You say Orgrimmar.
Orgrimmar. Is that not how you say it?
But I feel like I don't know which one's correct, but I love the way you say it because I feel like it makes so much sense. Orgrimmar. You say Orgrimmar, like org, which I think is great. I always said Orgrimmar.
Orgrimmar.
I don't say Orgrimmar, but I love the way you say it. I always kept hearing that and I was like, why does it sound so different? But yours makes more sense.
You're like, ooh, it hurts to hear it.
Genuinely love it. I think yours makes more sense.
There's like a few things that are in World of Warcraft where I'm just saying it with my full chest thinking I'm saying it right. And I'm like, and it is what it is, D.Va. Like, this is how we say it.
How would you say the dev's name is? I'm not going to say his name because otherwise I'll tell you how I say it. The one that spoke about everything midnight. How would you pronounce his name?
Oh my God, that crazy last name?
No, that first name.
Wait, what was the... Say their last name. I have to look
them up. Kostas? Okay, look it up because I want you to read his name and I want to...
Okay, Kostas.
Because it's so funny how wildly different people pronounce his name.
Okay, so...
World of Warcraft, like...
Girl, I cannot find how to spell his name.
Okay, never mind. Let's move on. It's Ian Hazakostas.
Ian?
Yeah.
That's how you say it. How would you say it otherwise?
People say Eon.
Eon?
Eon. Like, I've heard everything. I'm just like, why are we making this more complicated than it is? I just always say Ian Hazakostas.
Oh, I thought there was like a more complicated name. I was like, yeah, Ian is a very common name out here.
Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we should ask him on Red BlizzCon.
Yeah, we'll run into him and be like, how do people say your fucking name? And we're going to say it aggressively and very gay. The way we're going to interview people at BlizzCon in the most aggressive gay manner. Yeah, holding up our phone.
I do want to tell you one thing, though. Like, people, you know that there's these like housing events right now happening all over the world.
Yeah.
And the first one just happened in London. And I've talked to a few creators that went there. And they said Maria Hamilton was there. And she's like the designer for like the whole like world of Azeroth, basically. And she was apparently like so incredibly sweet to everybody. And they would like answer people's questions. Like, there was this one diva that asked if we're ever going to get Naga as a playable race. And she answered the question. And she was like, it's not a plan right now, but anything after Titan is like possible, basically. And like, she, like, people really asked her, like, is there going to be more customizations for housing? And she was like, yes. Is there going to be more customizations for Blood Elves? And she said yes. Like, she said yes, she didn't say when, but I think that's so cool of her. And I'm just so excited to talk to the devs like that when we're at BlizzCon, because she seems like such a fun person to talk to.
Yeah, this is actually any devs that are watching us, this is us asking, let us be at BlizzCon, give us two chairs, a microphone, and a dream, and let us just interview people from Blizzard in the gayest interview that's ever existed ever at BlizzCon.
Yep.
I'm like, when's the pride flags?
I'm just saying it will be...
How about that in a housing item, huh?
You are so stupid. Yeah, no, that would be fierce. I would live.
On that note, I think we've hit time on this podcast episode.
Already?
Yeah, girl, we've talked for an hour.
Oh, wow. I feel like it's been like 30 minutes.
Yeah, diva. We yap. These gays, they won't shut the fuck up.
Did we say everything you wanted to say? I think we did, right?
I think we did, yeah. We talked about the pre-patch, okay. The short story, Work. State of Azeroth, and yeah, Deaths and Last Titan. I guess one last thing we could mention is Living for the Labyrinths and Delves that were talked about in... Prop Hunt. That we're getting Prop Hunt.
I don't know if I'm excited about that one, but I will give it a try because I played Witchit. You know Witchit?
Yeah.
And I hated it. But I will play the World of Warcraft version, and I want to play with you on stream.
Yeah, we're going to... I will make a European account if I have to, just so we can...
I'll have an NA account. Don't you worry. It's already in the works. No, but I'm very excited about the Delve thing. I think I'm so happy that the Delve Divas are getting their flowers, and it's getting more. And yeah, in general, just very excited about World of Warcraft right now.
Yeah. Well, if you are new here, make sure to please leave us a 5-star review if you're listening on any of our audio portion, so Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other like Amazon Music or any other podcast app. It helps us out tremendously. It's what helps boost us in the algorithm. And if you are watching on this YouTube video, please leave a comment. That's what really the engagement is, what helps boost these videos in the algorithm. And leave a like. Even if it's a hate comment, if you hate us, let us know.
If you hate us, comment. And engage in a conversation with everyone that loves us and tell them why they should hate us. Comment on everything you see that you don't like, please.
Yeah. Call me a slur. You know what? maybe not that. Maybe not that. And what you're going to do...
That was a joke.
Yeah, what you're going to do is you're actually going to come to twitch.tv/8bitdylan and you're going to subscribe and then you're going to say a slur to me.
Tier three.
And then call me what you want. Well, this has been Azeroth with Attitude. And thank you so much,
guys.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.